parenting.
Thank you.
How's everybody?
Good, thank you.
Did your kids test you today?
No.
How many times? How many times?
16 and a half hours worth.
16 and a half hours worth.
In the morning, homework time.
How many of us enjoyed our children today? At least once. Okay. The rest of you were not paying attention. If you didn't enjoy your children at least once today, you weren't paying attention. The thing that we're going to learn in this course is done over a 6-week period of time. Each segment is going to be in and of itself, which means tonight we're going to talk about responsibility. We're going to talk about what is a parent. We're going to talk about what are our expectations as a parent, and are those expectations realistic? For many of us, where did we learn how to be parents?
From being parented.
From being parented. Did we like, for the most part, how we were parented?
No.
No. So the hardest part of this course is not how we perceive ourselves to be a parent, but the underlying thing that we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about, and that is how we were parented. That's the most difficult part. So while we talk about how we're parenting and what skills we're strengthening in our children and what we're teaching our children, the thing that is going to be the most difficult for you is how you were parented. Within each person, there is a child. You all know that, right? Within each of us, there is a child.
Yes.
How that child was parented occasionally comes out in our parenting skills. And that's the part of us that we don't like, right? You know, when you say something that you said, Mom, I'll never talk to my child, I'll never yell at my child. When you were 12 years old, I'm going to make sure that I understand my children. And then your children do something that flips you out at that time, you know, when you just can't take one more thing, and you say, God, I sound just like my mother, I sound just like my father. Those are the underlying currents that are going to be the most difficult for you to deal with. What do you do when you find those underlying currents? Let me tell you. One of the things you can do is you can keep a journal. It's very important for all parents to keep a journal. Why is it important to keep a journal? What happens when you keep a journal?
You can see the pattern. You can look at what happened.
Right. And when you acknowledge a behavior that you do not particularly appreciate in yourself, what do? You do everything that you can to change it. But what most of us want to do is say, no, you know, that was just a one-time thing. That was just a one-time thing. That's not ever going to happen again. And then you find yourself doing it again, reacting again. And what do you say?
I won't do it again.
I'm a terrible mother. I won't do it again. I shouldn't have yelled at that child. I shouldn't have done that. I remember how it feels, and that's terrible, and I'm just a terrible mother. And then you have your mother come along, or you have a friend come along, and they say, God, why did you do that? And you go into instant defense. We're going to talk tonight about responsibility. What is responsibility? What is your responsibility as a parent? Week 2, we're going to talk about children. What is their responsibility? Are they responsible? At what age do they become responsible? Any questions so far? I'm moving right along. Yes?
About keeping the journal, do you keep the positive things you do also?
Positive and negative. Most people will not take the time to do this. It's very important that you take the time to do a journal because you want to look at what are the underlying currents. What are the underlying currents? And you're not going to find that in your day-to-day parenting. You're not going to find what your opinions are about your parenting skills, positive or negative, if you don't take the time to write them down. You're also not going to find out that there's a difference between how children behave and who children are. There's a very big difference between a bad child and a child who acts badly. There are bad children, but for the most part, children are not bad. For the most part, your children are not bad. If you're awake and you're conscious and you're consistently looking at how you parent, or you're even this much interested in how you parent, then your children are not bad because you're paying attention. And as long as you're paying attention, your children are going to pay attention. So what is your responsibility as a parent? What is a parent?
Well, one is to physically take care of them.
Okay, physically take care of children. Okay?
Teach them to be independent.
Teach them to be independent. Okay, emotionally nurture.
Set guidelines for responsibility.
Okay, teach them responsibility.
Teach them values.
Teach them values. Okay, teach them how to love. So what's the one common thing that we've said in all of that?
Teach.
Teach. Your biggest job as a parent is teach. If you get nothing else out of these 6 weeks, the thing that you want to implant in your mind in every interaction with every child, be it your child or somebody else's child, is what am I teaching this child? What am I teaching this child? It won't happen when you're interacting with them. It'll happen, you know, when you've taken two steps back. What am I trying to teach this child? What do I want to teach this child, no matter what age? No matter whether they're this big or whether they're this big. What do I want to teach this child? So between now and the next course, that's your homework. You're going to be asking yourself, what do I want to teach this child? What did I teach this child? What is this child teaching me? Do you know that you can learn from your children? Mm-hmm. Do you know that it's not all bad stuff? You know that they're really not out to get you? Do you know that there are days that you think that they're out to get you? Uh-huh. And that there are times that they are out to get you? So the same way that you test their limits, they test your limits. You know, the same way that you say, okay, let's see if they can do this one extra step. They're going to do the same thing. How are they going to do it? Are they going to do it physically? No. How are they going to do it? What's the one tie that you have to your child? Emotionally. Emotionally. So if you recognize yourself as a parent, as a teacher, that means that whenever there's an emotionally upsetting behavior that this child is doing, what do you have to do in order to be a good teacher? You have to take a step back. You have to take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. And the thing you'll hear me say over and over again is take a deep breath, and you have to step back. You have to step back and say, okay, in this situation, what am I going to teach this child? If this child weren't out to get me, which I'm sure that they are, I'm positive that they are just trying to manipulate me right now. If they were not trying to do that, what would I want to teach this child in this particular situation? So as a parent, you're the nurturer. You're the teacher. You're the emotional guide. You're the physical caretaker. And what else are you? You're the spiritual leader. So you've covered mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional. Now, how can you possibly at every point during the day do all of those four things exactly the way that your little mind says that you should? How can you possibly do it? You can't. Nobody can. It's totally impossible. It's totally impossible. If you think that there's a perfect way to parent, you're not going to find that in this course, because I don't believe that there's a perfect way to parent. I don't believe that there's a formula that if you follow that formula, your kids are going to turn out all right. I believe that your children are independent little beings, and that all you can do is teach them and guide them. And if you teach them and guide them and teach them to trust themselves and teach them to express their love and express their communication and teach them right, wrong, and teach them about God, that you're going to have a pretty basically okay kid. But are they going to do it your way?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
Did you do it the way your parents wanted you to do it?
No.
Sometimes.
When you left the house, did you do it the way your parents wanted you to do it?
No.
No, what's the first thing you did when you left the house? Everything your parents told you not to do. So you have to determine what is your responsibility as a parent. Personally for you, what is your responsibility for a parent? What are the things that you want to teach this child? You have to recognize that God has given you a gift for a very short period of time. Very short period of time. Usually between 6 and 10 years. After that, they've got other influences and you just pray that they're okay. But you have this child for a very short period of time. What is it that you want to teach them in that short period of time?
Compassion.
Tolerance.
Tolerance.
Love.
Love. Respect.
Deal with your feelings.
How to deal with their feelings.
Perseverance.
Perseverance. Commitment.
Integrity.
Integrity. Have you ever thought if you have only 10 things to teach a child, what those 10 things would be? I mean, have you ever sat down and thought, okay, I have 10 things to teach my child. What would those 10 things be? Have you ever done that? Very important that you sit down and do that. Your children chose you for a reason, and I do believe that children choose their parents. I'm not going to go into that, but I do believe that children choose their parents, and that they choose their parents to learn specific things. You have specific strengths. Your children have specific weaknesses. You have specific weaknesses. Your children have specific strengths. Between all of you, between the whole family, you have a whole unit. Everybody has something to teach everybody in every family, or they wouldn't be together. I believe that. You don't have to believe that, but I believe that. So it's important that you sit down and ask yourself, what are the 10 things? When my child leaves my home, when they have turned out, turned out. What are the 10 things that I know? If they know, I will have accomplished my job. Most people, when they think about parenting, they think, for how long is parenting?
They think 18 years.
18 years? The rest of my life! Forever! Oh, God. Forever. If you think of parenting as teaching, that can be pretty exciting, right? Thinking of, oh, I get to teach this child for the rest of their life. That could be pretty exciting. But if you think of it as I am personally responsible for every action that this child does for the rest of their life, that becomes burden. And this is where parents get in trouble with themselves as parents. Because there's no way, no matter what you teach a child, that child has choice. That child has a relationship with other people. That child has
free will.
And you cannot intervene. You cannot intervene. So you have to shift your thinking. Everybody's flipping out on me now. Oh, no! You have to change your thinking about who you are as a parent, how you parent, to one of a teaching role. Because if you look at good teachers teach all of those things, right? I mean, maybe they don't teach the spirituality, but they do teach the inner trust. They do teach the self-esteem. They do teach all of that. They do teach the nurturing. They do teach the moral values. They do teach right. They do teach wrong. They do teach everything they teach. True?
Mm-hmm.
True. So you have to think of yourself as a teacher if you're going to continue to inspire yourself as a parent. So what are the realities of the qualities that you think parenting are? What are the reality of the qualities you think a parent should have?
Reality.
The reality.
Patience.
No, how can you possibly fulfill your vision of parenting? How can you possibly be everything that you think parents should be? What is the reality of that? Is anybody perfect?
No.
Then how can you possibly fulfill this image that you have of good parent? But the idea of putting it together is that it's going to be better than what your parents did. It's going to be better than your parents did it. So it's not based on, but it's not based on choice. It's based on reaction. Reaction to how your parents did it. So how can you possibly fulfill all of that? You can't. You can't possibly fulfill it all. You can't possibly do everything that you thought you were going to do for your children. And so what happens to your dream about who you are as a parent? What do you start saying about yourself as a parent?
I'm a bad parent.
And what happens when your kids don't do what they're supposed to do? And then what do we do to cover that up? What do we do to cover that up? I did the best I could do. I couldn't do any better than that. That's just what I did. I just did that. But what do we personally think about ourselves?
That we failed.
That we failed as a parent. But we did the best we could do. And so then what happens to our ability to teach?
We lose our confidence.
We lose our confidence. And then what do we stop doing?
Teaching.
And this is how you get people who have teenagers that they don't have a relationship with their teenagers. They have no relationship with their teenagers because they think they have absolutely nothing to contribute to their teenagers. Somebody else can handle them better. And you have this whole culture of people who have no relationship with their teenagers because they don't know how to interact with them because of the decisions that they've made about themselves, thinking they made no decision about themselves.
There's so much guilt.
But that's the point. Why should you feel guilty about interacting with your child? This is what we're trying to get rid of. I mean, all you can do is what you can do. You can't do anything better than that. All you can do is deal with what you have in front of you. And hindsight is always better. Oh, I should have, I could have, I would have, maybe I. Then why isn't it popular? You have children?
Mm-hmm. I was one of those. If my kids behave, what a great mother.
Mm-hmm.
Like taking the plays and all animals and like, oh my God, what did I do wrong? You know, I learned to detach myself from that and, you know, and eventually understanding that I am a good mother, I'm the best mother I can be.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to, I still catch myself doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, brainstorming, if I would have done this, maybe if I would have done it this way, maybe, see, if I wouldn't yell at him that time, he wouldn't see me doing this and that.
But what is the value of this?
Making myself wrong.
Okay, but on a positive note, what is the value of that?
That I'm trial and error, you are learning.
Right.
The personality does respond to a certain thing from its parent, so you're trying to learn.
Right. So if you can do that and put in correction, mm-hmm. it's great. But if you do that and it produces guilt, then it's worthless. Mm-hmm. It's totally worthless. This is why the journal is so important. Because you'll be able to write it down and go back to it a couple days later and say, now how could I have reacted differently in that situation, or should I have? Maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe that was the appropriate response for that particular situation. Any questions? Okay, let's talk about family patterns. What pattern exists in your family now that's distressing? A pattern is something that keeps reoccurring. Paul?
Yes, upset and heated and more argumentative with one another since Jonathan got here.
Mm-hmm.
There's more pressure.
But what's the pattern?
The pattern is a struggle for control and who's going to initiate, who's going to be the parent. We haven't, we're trying to mesh together as parents and we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
As good as I think we could.
Mm-hmm.
So
you think
for control in some way on both our parts.
Okay. Have you sat down and written out what a mother is and what a father is and what are your duties and responsibilities according to Paul and Nancy? You might want to do that again. But what is the pattern? Jonathan cries, Nancy cries, Paul yells. What is the pattern?
Nancy doesn't want the baby to cry.
Baby cries.
So I want
Nancy doesn't want the baby to cry.
Paul says, let her cry.
And then Paul and Nancy fight.
Over him crying, yeah.
Right. Right. So instead of having one child in the household screaming, what do we have? We have three. We have three children throwing a temper tantrum instead of one.
Same pattern in a different way.
Most parents do. Now, do you know how this pattern got established?
Only thing I can think of is my mother never let me cry.
Right, so you're not going to let your son cry.
Yeah.
Right. And your mother?
It's really distorted perception.
I'm just that what I did was my twin and I used to fight in order to get my parents pissed off or crazy in order to get attention.
Right.
So I've got the exact same, I'm now looking at the same lesson right back in my face.
Right, so you think he's consciously trying to just upset you.
Yes.
Yes, and you don't want him to upset you. So you're going to have Nancy let him cry so that he doesn't upset you, but what winds up happening is that you wind up getting upset.
Yes.
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 So what sense does that make? Okay, so what are you teaching him at this age?
It's more important than the love we have for one another.
No. What's he teaching him?